Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a b-.
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woohoo! Working out.
And welcome to another action-packed edition of Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Saturday afternoon. We're live. I'm Joe Galina, and I'm here with my buddy, the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day. How's it going, Jim?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Crazy week already.
Yeah.
Good game on Thursday night. We got a couple of games tonight.
Yeah.
I love this time of year. It's just nuts. Everybody's going nuts.
Absolutely. The fantasy semifinals in season-long action. If your season is over in season-long action, we got DFS lineups to put in. Last week, I actually had a decent week in DFS. I hit on 6 of 7 lineups, and hopefully, you know, this is a little. I feel that this is a little bit of a tougher week, but yeah, we'll see. Just keep moving forward, right? I mean, we started this journey back in the spring, in terms of getting ready for the fantasy football season. Can't believe we're up to week 15 already.
It does go quick, Joe. It does go quick, and every year it seems like it does this to us. And you know, the off season is so long; it takes so long to get to that week one game, and then all of a sudden, week one hits, and we get hit, thrown into a slingshot for the rest of the season.
But, and that's Sean not wanting to be ignored, right? We had Sean Engel, producer extraordinaire, hitting with the Taz. But so week 15, like you said, got off to a big start. Got the Chargers showing some balls. That's no way to put it, right? Showing some balls. Go for that 2 points. at the end of that game, what'd you think about that decision?
You're right. I mean, it definitely ballsy. Something that, hey, look, they were going for the win. They wanted to win. They didn't want to give Patrick Mahomes the ball back.
Right.
I see all that logic right there. They didn't really, do a great job of stopping him all day. Although they slowed him down quite a bit in the second half, so that was good. In the very beginning of that game, it wasn't looking good for Chicago. San Diego. Jeez, I gotta stop doing that. The Chargers.
I do it too. Yeah.
The Chargers, but did they really show that they want this? So that was a great.
Right.
Great thing
right.
happening there.
Absolutely. And, on a personal note, I'm pushing for it. I'd love to see Rivers go deep into the playoffs, finally get that Super Bowl championship under his belt. And from our previous shows, I think you're a Rivers fan as well, no?
Oh, yeah, I've always liked Philip Rivers. One of those guys that always goes underappreciated, still gets it done. And, again, I'll say preseason, my pick for the Super Bowl was the Chargers against the Rams. So not looking too shabby at this point.
Yeah, well, they beat the Chiefs 29-28, and us fantasy players, we kind of didn't want them to go for the two. We wanted, overtime.
Yeah, more fantasy.
Get more, right? Yeah. But still, like I said, it's a ballsy move. Would you have done it if you're in the Chargers' place?
I'd like to think I would. I'm kind of aggressive that way. I like to win. I think I might have gone for it. The numbers are there that say it's a good opportunity and you should probably go for it. So look how many extra point kicks are being missed every single week now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you want to put it on the back of your kicker at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you. And, one thing our boss, Mike Cardano, brought out was – how successful the Patriots have been over the years. I mean, during their you know, playoff push, you know, for several years now. Basically, they've done it with just two kickers. So, I mean, you know, maybe they need to teams need to pay a little bit more attention to who they're having kick their balls through the uprights. But we'll see. But Keenan Allen. So let's take a look at the fantasy impact of this game. Now, Keenan Allen gave fantasy points, well, 0 points.
Wait,
can we
just go back real quick? You were talking about Brady and them. This is how big we go back real quick to last week, the Miami Miracle they're calling it now.
Yeah,
with the run back and everything.
Sure.
First of all, it essentially ended the Pats' chances for home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That play. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is why that is significant. The Patriots under Brady and Belichick in postseason have a home record of 19-3 mm-hmm. and a road record of 3-4.
Hmm. And what's their record against the Giants?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. So that's far-reaching implications from that game last week. What a finish too.
I would have loved to have been in that in the New England locker room after that game ended.
Mm. Yeah. Actually,
that must have been special.
Did you happen to catch? I didn't. The post-game press conference.
No, I did not see that.
Be interesting. Now that you say that, after the show, I'm going to see if there's any footage of it. I'm sure that Belichick was his old jovial self. But but the implications from the Thursday night game. Now, Keenan Allen, a major cog in a lot of fantasy lineups, put up 0 fantasy points, unfortunately. Has a hit pointer. It is listed week to week.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, at least he's got the 10-day separation to his next game. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that gives him a chance to play. You know, mm-hmm. fantasy owners in the Super Bowl, if they make it past this week with him, you mm-hmm. know, definitely are going to want to have him back next week. But, you know, on the flip side of that, those of us who had to start Mike Williams ended up lucking out because of the Allen injury. And all of a sudden, Mike Williams steps up and has this huge game at a time you were hoping he gets you double-digit points. He goes and scores 3 touchdowns.
Right. And unfortunately, there were some people who were forced to put him in their lineups, but not enough. And I were hot. You put him in your lineup?
I had him in 2 of my lineups. I really didn't have a choice.
Right.
I mean, it was guys like him or Traquan Smith or, you know, guys like that I just thought he had much more upside. I just didn't expect it to be anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you and I think, were both high on him earlier in the year, and we were both disappointed when he faded, right? So you kind of wonder, like, I guess, you know, it's still too early to start thinking ahead, but, you know, he might be a sleeper for next season.
Well, you know, he came into this preseason as pretty much a sleeper. He was going very late in drafts, but mm-hmm. by the time, you know, the preseason moved in and he was having some good preseason games, you know, just before week one, if you look mm-hmm. at those last drafts, he was going as high as the 7th round. I'm not really sure anybody's going to call him a sleeper anymore.
Mm, yeah, and in effect, is there really such thing as a sleeper? But, you know.
Hey, Philip Lindsay was a sleeper.
Yeah.
They still exist.
Yeah. Damian Williams. He was
a sleeper too.
Yeah, he just came out of nowhere. And you saw it. I give you credit. I mean, he's got the 2 rushing TDs this past week, 6 catches for 74 yards. You kind of wonder if Spencer Ware is healthy enough to play, you know, how they're going to distribute the workload next week.
Hey, look, after that game, there's no way in hell you cannot give Damian Williams more carries, more touches. I mean, he looked good. Did you see when he just trucked over that defensive back? Just bowled him right over. I love to see that kind of stuff. He was running hard. He was running strong. He was making plays. Look, I like Spencer Ware as much as a nice guy and next guy, but Damian Williams played at a level I've never seen Spencer Ware play at.
And I was concerned about the Chiefs having added Shakondrick West to their roster, but he made no impact at all. But Tyreek Hill, good that he's showing that. I mean, we were concerned after last week. He was hobbling off the field. He was healthy enough to play. Had a decent day.
Oh, I got you 8 points. What, 3 points? So
yeah, drop that.
Maybe
that
it would have been better if he didn't play.
Yeah, he had that TD in his grasp. And
no. He had that TD in his helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
It never got to his grasp. Doink, right off the helmet.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy against fantasy footballers. Keenan Allen landed on his hip. Come on, he can't play no more. Oh, ouchie, ouchie.
If you remember, he had a major history of being hurt and finally healthy couple of seasons. Yeah. Speaking of players that are hurt, Melvin Gordon, you see what he tweeted out, his apologies to fantasy players. Could be back next week dealing with that knee issue. That was pretty cool, that tweet that he sent out.
Oh, actually, Keenan Allen did the same thing. He sent out a tweet like that as well, apologizing to fantasy owners.
I didn't see that one.
He put up the zero. He apologized to fantasy owners. You got to like those guys. They're not part of the conspiracy.
Right, right. They know what's at stake. We're at week 15, baby. Semifinals, right?
It's Austin, the coaches you got to worry about.
Exactly, exactly. So Austin Ekeler was out due to a concussion. Justin Jackson had it ended up being a decent day. 58 rushing yards, a touchdown, 3 for 27 receiving. Dietrez Newsome all of a sudden showed his face. But I don't think we're going to see him much more if Ekeler could come back next week, right?
No, absolutely not. Or if Gordon's back. Yeah, I mean, he definitely a guy who was brought in his body. He played pretty well. I'll give him that. But, he's not going to be anything there if Ekeler or Gordon or both come back this week.
Yeah. So, we were talking, this week is super important. And why don't we, before we start breaking down games, and we have games, as soon as our show is over, you got In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. You could listen to that and throw on the Texans and the Jets. I believe they start at 4:30. Just turn the volume down on the broadcast of the game and just listen to Bogman and the Welsh. So we got two games, and we're going to go over them in a few seconds. But why don't we talk about the preliminary injury report, Jim, right? There are several players that are already out, listed as out. I guess I'll go through them, and then you could comment on any of them and any implications, if that's all right?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So Colt McCoy for the Redskins, quarterback, out. Josh Johnson in makes for a great movie script, right? He says he was hanging out in the hood with his kids, and now all of a sudden he's quarterbacking the Redskins. But I don't really expect too much out of Josh Johnson this week, though.
No. I mean, he put up good numbers last week, but that was when the game was already out of control, and the Giants were playing that prevent defense that almost always leads to a prevent a win, but they had such a big lead that it didn't quite get there. So, yeah, I'm not really expecting much from Josh Johnson as well. And it's going to be interesting to see if anybody has the cojones in a GPP to jump on him and see if he leads them to the promised land.
He's the kind of guy that in a GPP, might end up winning you that thing. Because
you're absolutely right. It's always that bottom tier quarterback that nobody wants to put in there that comes out of nowhere and has a great game that wins them the milli.
Right, right. Carson Wentz. He's definitely out this week. Might be out the season. Well, he has to be out the season. He's got a fracture in his back, but I guess it's just wording.
It took him until today to actually list him out for this
week. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't think they had to do that. I thought it was just like he's done, but I guess they didn't put him on the IR.
Yeah, more than likely he's done, especially if they lose this game and they're completely out of the playoff hunt. Then he's definitely done. No reason to rush him back. If they end up winning this game and he's, they still got a shot, who knows what they could do. These doctors are amazing these days.
That's true. He could be playing. He could be on the field in a back brace. talk about movie scripts. Now Nick Foles is the quarterback again, and look what he did last year.
Yeah, he's not going to do it this year. Eagles fans, sorry, he's not going to do it for you this year. first of all, you got to get to the playoffs for him to have that shot, and I really suspect they don't have much of a chance. Their secondary is still hurting. Just too many guys out and just getting beat up.
Yep. Kerryon Johnson out again. Detroit Lions running back. They'll also be without Bruce Ellington, their wide receiver. So they're really banged up, and they take on the Bills. They're an underdog to the Bills this week.
Yes, they are. how the mighty have fallen. I mean, Stafford has hurt himself. He's questionable, but he will play. But, man, it's it's just not the same team. This offense is just not getting it done. And the one thing we are seeing, at least to me, is that Galladay is not ready to be a number one wide receiver. He doesn't have the strength yet to go up against top cornerbacks and beat them consistently.
Rashad Penny is out for the Seahawks. Chris Carson, the big guy there. The biggest name that's going to be out again is Odell Beckham Jr. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, this is part of that conspiracy I always talk about. Come on, he's got a little hip boo-boo and he can't play. Oh, poor baby. I am so done with Beckham. Yeah, hip quad, same freaking
whatever.
I am so done with Beckham.
How done are you? Do you want him to be traded?
I am real done. Yes, I absolutely want him to be traded.
Okay, all right. I kind of do as well. You know, I've been calling for it since last
year. I trade him for Nathan Peterman right now. That's how pissed I am at him.
No, let's not get crazy. We need a couple of let's take it easy now. too much Mountain Dew there, Jim.
How'd you know I was drinking Mountain Dew?
I know everything about you.
Oh, God, you don't know everything about me. Not even my wife knows everything about me.
I know, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? So who else is out? DeSean Jackson, wide receiver for the Bucs. Jordan Reed, tight end for the Redskins, finally succumbs to injury. We were waiting for him to get hurt all year long.
People were begging him to get hurt. Right. Just so they didn't take the chance on him.
Yeah.
Everybody kept taking chances on him because he wasn't hurt and he wasn't getting much done. Now he's finally hurt. These people don't have to play him.
Yeah. We'll continue to go over some of these injuries, but we want to get down to breaking down games for you. From a season-long perspective, from a DFS perspective, from a gambling perspective, we're here for you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Weekend Fantasy Update. Jugolina, Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, and Sean Engel. I like this. What is this, Sean?
This is some Motorhead.
Nice. I thought Motorhead was like heavier. Yeah, but... No,
that wasn't heavy enough for you.
No, it was great. Great beat. Loved the guitar and all that. But it wasn't like really like, you know, heavy
metal. It
wasn't
thrash metal or death metal.
Yeah.
It was just metal heavy like metal.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, kind of sounded more punk than heavy metal to me. I don't know. That's just me. All right, so let's just get through some more of these injuries real quick, and then we'll break down the Texans at Jets. Who else is out this week? Kiki Kuti. He's been out for a while.
He's basically a non-existent player at this point. He tickled our fancy for a couple of weeks and then disappeared.
He was the hot guy off the waiver wire, right, earlier in the year?
Oh, he was, yeah. Had that good game, and then everybody jumped all over him, had one more decent game, and then goodbye, Kuti.
Yeah. Isaiah Crowell, Jets wide running back on the IR. Elijah McGuire, we're going to be talking about the Jets. Does he interest you at all?
Well, he's got to interest you. He's a starting running back right now. But the bad part is that he's going up against the Houston Texans, who are very good against the run on the season. They're number 9 over the last 5 weeks. They've actually been number 3 against the run. Mm-hmm. Shut down Indy, Cleveland, Tennessee, Washington in those weeks. So, you know, not the greatest running games outside of Chubb in that group. But, you know, they are playing very well right now.
Yeah, yeah. Last person that we'll talk about that's out and really not much of a, you know, I actually ended up using this guy earlier in the season for a couple of weeks. Jeff Swaim, tight end for the Cowboys, but he'll be out. Questionable tags. So we got Chris Ivory and LeSean McCoy. I think it looks like both of them have a decent chance of playing, no?
That's what they're saying now. It looks like, you know, most people thought McCoy might be done for the year after that injury.
Right.
But, no, he's been saying all week he thinks he's going to play. He's going to play. And now he's questionable, and it looks like a very good chance he will play. So all those people that were hoping he wouldn't play so they could play Chris Ivory, sorry, it looks like you're screwed.
Yeah. And we're going to try to get to the Pittsburgh-New England game. We'll try to get through as many games as we can. But let's just talk real quick about James Conner. He's got the questionable tag. I think he had a limited practice in. Questionable. But, I wouldn't be surprised if, game time we hear he's out.
I don't expect him to play. Not with everything they've been seeing and hearing and, the limited practice. But that means more than likely that he was off on the side doing a little something by himself. Not really much else. So he has a shot. But I don't think so. When you're talking high ankle sprain, at this point, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to rush him back and possibly lose him for the playoffs.
Right, right.
But then again, this is a must-win game for Pittsburgh. So it could, it really, I guess at this point, it comes down to how much pain he can endure.
Right. And this is going to be a tough one, too, because, even if he does play, you think that Jalen Samuels has a role? I mean, he might be limited. He might be truly limited if he plays. I'm talking about James Conner.
Yeah, but at that point, it becomes a total guessing game for all of us and really screws us all.
All those
people counting on Samuel as a tight end in Yahoo would definitely get screwed. Samuel would probably still have some, form of activity in this game, even if Conner plays, but without knowing how much or without even being, having any clue how much, kind of hard to start him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. T.Y. Hilton, a game time decision. I believe he was a game time decision last week as well, right? But put up some big numbers, so we'll see. But expected to play Doug Baldwin, wide receiver for the Seahawks. Matthew Stafford, who he really hasn't played all year, but is expected to play. And Ito Smith has been eating into Tevin Coleman's workload. Running back,
he sure
for the
has.
Falcons.
Hey, look, they have no choice. I mean, Coleman hasn't been getting it done as the number one. They want to see if they have anything in Ito Smith that could be that guy next
before
year
they go draft
when Freeman
someone.
Comes back. They're under contract with Freeman for a while, and it looks like Coleman's going to be a free agent. So they want to know if Ito Smith can be that number two, and they're going to have to find out. So could absolutely hurt Coleman going down the stretch for all you fantasy guys.
Ito, what could you
not
do
that he really him? Helps you Tell all that what, much anyway, but
no, yeah, I thought he'd develop even more, but we'll see. So why don't we talk about the 4:30 game? We have the Texans at the Jets, and we have the Texans as a 7-point favorite. They're coming off of a loss. They had won 8 straight and finally were dethroned. What are we thinking about this? About this game, we have, I guess maybe this week, maybe we should try to focus more on the more fantasy relevant guys. What do you think about Deshaun Watson this week? QB 11 on the year. He should get his standard 30 plus rushing yards. Josh Allen rushed for 101 against the Jets. Mariota rushed for 43 against the Jets. What are we thinking about Deshaun Watson this week? He's in your lineup, right?
He's got to be. Look, the Jets, you know, are not playing great against the pass. They're still playing good against the run, but not so great against the pass. Over the last 5 weeks, they're 23rd against quarterbacks, 30th against wide receivers. You know, DeAndre Hopkins should be able to ball in this one. And we may finally see Demaryius Thomas get in some good playing time, although I'm still not sure I could recommend him as a start this week unless you really have no choice.
What are we thinking about Lamar Miller? Jets have given up 130-plus total rushing yards in four straight games and given up five rushing touchdowns during that span. Are you confident in Lamar Miller this week?
I don't know if I could be confident in Lamar Miller anytime, but he should get enough opportunity. The problem we have now is we don't know if Deontay Foreman is healthy enough to actually play, and if he does, how much of this workload can he take? And, you know, that might be a very big possibility in this game, so they could evaluate whether Deontay Foreman is somebody they can use in the playoffs.
Also, there's Blue there, right? Alfred Blue has been getting some carries as well, so... on the Jets side, we talked about Isaiah Crowell being placed on the IR, Elijah McGuire. Last week, 17 for 60, scored a touchdown, had three catches for 23 yards. If the one thing the Texans are vulnerable to, it's giving up catches to running backs. They're allowing just under six catches per game to running backs. That could be a little in for McGuire.
Yeah, they've given up 74 receptions to the position, over 500 yards and five touchdowns just through the air to running backs. So it may play well into McGuire's hands. We know he's a good pass-catching back. He should get some opportunity there. But, you know, it's not a guarantee. It's not something Sam Darnold has shown that he could do reliably. He's checked out to his running back. So it should come into play, but... again, you know, week 15, there are so many fringe players that are going to come into play for fantasy that it seems unusual, seems highly unusual that there's going to be some guys in the fantasy championship that are starting guys like McGuire and you know, a lot of fringe names, Dante Pettis and guys like that. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you mentioned Donald, he's starting, right? And we have Deshaun Watson, a second-year guy. But Donald, part of the rookie class that includes Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, right? Of those, since we're talking about young quarterbacks, who do you have the most faith in for developing into a, you know, QB1, let's say a top 12 quarterback in fantasy next year from that rookie class?
I think Baker Mayfield's got the best shot. I like Mayfield a lot. I think he shows a lot of poise and, you know, he rebounds from a bad play pretty quickly, which is, you know, a very strong factor. And I just think he's got overall the best talent of the bunch. But, you know, we're starting to see Josh Allen as a fantasy quarterback is really starting to play well because of the rushing yards. Rushing yards are huge for fantasy, and we love to see that. So, you know, three basically 100-yard rushing games in a row from a quarterback is just unheard of.
Does it worry you that he's a rushing quarterback in terms of, you know, we've seen so many rushing quarterbacks, you know, have – short careers, you know.
Well, it's definitely a concern. They need to learn to be able to throw the ball as well as run, you know, and we've seen a lot of those type running quarterbacks. They either get turned into a pocket passer, like what they're trying to do with Russell Wilson, or they're out of the league or backups anymore. I mean, Robert Griffin, things like that, Colin Kaepernick, you know, just to name a couple. I mean, good rushing quarterbacks, but you sit them in the pocket and they have trouble. And, you know, in the NFL, you need to have the ability. You know, it's okay if you can move out of the pocket when you need to, but you also need to have the ability to sit behind that line, sit in that pocket, and make plays in that pocket. And a lot of these guys just really don't have that yet. I think Josh Allen could get there. I think Josh Rosen gets there. But, you know, it's going to be a work in progress for those guys. Lamar Jackson is the one, to me, who's the furthest one out from that aspect.
Right. It'd be interesting to see what type of weapons the Bills supply, Josh Allen with. But and I feel like from a draft strategy, when you draft a guy like an Allen or a Jackson, it's even, you know, sometimes you might walk out of your draft with maybe one quarterback figure that you could always pick one up off the waiver wire. With with those type of players, with their susceptibility to being injured, I feel that you need a decent backup, you know. But, hey, we'll talk about that when the season's over. But Robbie Anderson, any interest in Robbie Anderson? 7 targets each of the last 2 games. Decent matchup against Jonathan Joseph this week. Any love for Robbie Anderson, or in Week 15, you're not taking a chance on him?
Well, I don't really like him in season-long leagues unless, you know, I absolutely have to. I don't really like him, but I might take a shot on him, you know, in a flyer, in a GPP if I want to punt the position, try and get more chalk.
Yeah,
so I think he comes into play there. Even Kearse, I think, comes into that play there since he'll now take the slot with Quincy Enunwa out for the week. So even Kearse could be that guy again. Not a lot of faith. Definitely wouldn't start him in season long, but they could be those kind of guys that get you, you know, 2-3 times the money you spent on them if they come through.
Right. So any faith in the Jets being able to cover the 7-point spread, or you think the Texans, coming off a loss, a little ticked off and basically a better team than the Jets, you think the Texans cover?
Yeah, I do think the Texans cover in this one. I expect them to cover. I just don't really see much out of the Jets here that I like.
Mm-hmm. And that over-under of 44?
Earlier it was 41.5. So now it's up to 44. I think it has a decent shot to go over, but I don't know if I'd bet it.
Right. If I had to, I feel the same way. If I had to, I think I'd take the under in this game. But
You take the under, huh? Okay.
Yeah. So we have another game tonight, 8:20, prime time. So you come home from shopping for the holidays, get to chill out on the couch and see the Broncos at home against the Browns. Should be an entertaining game. And let's see what the spread is on this one. We have Denver up by 2.5, and the over-under in this game is 46.5. I believe the Broncos lose and they're eliminated. It's an important game for the Broncos. They lost to the 49ers last week as a 3-point road favorite, which I was a little surprised they didn't show up for that game. They had one.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting game. And, a game when they had just started, they were really starting to turn it around and starting to make plays.
Yeah.
And, to come out and lose that game, it's just one of the vagaries of the NFL. You know, everything looks one way on paper. It doesn't always go that way.
Right. And the Browns beat the Panthers as a 1-point home underdog last week. So, talking about Baker Mayfield, I mean, since the head coach change, right, he's completing 73.2% of his passes. That's in 5 starts. He's got 1,406 yards and 11 touchdowns in those 5 starts since the coaching change. So he's really, really been coming on.
You know, the thing I liked about him the most was a couple of weeks ago, he threw those 3 interceptions in the first half. But then in the second half, he just came right out and shrugged it all off his shoulders and came out and started playing good football. Ended up almost throwing for 400 yards in that game, added a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So saved your bacon a little bit if you had to play him that week. Look, I just like quarterbacks that can rebound from, making bad plays and still have the poise to move forward. And I think at his age, he showed a lot of that, and I really like seeing that.
Yeah, and Broncos have given up at least 303 passing yards in 4 of their last 6, including 332 to Nick Mullins last week. So Mayfield has an opportunity to have a decent day. But they are playing in that thin air in Denver.
Yes, especially if the first time you play there, it's definitely an interesting feeling. There's no doubt about it.
Mm. All right, and Mayfield's also been victimized by some of his receivers dropping balls, right? Rashad Higgins dropped what could have been a TD. Antonio Callaway, we've spoken about him.
Njoku.
But, to the running. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the running game in the last 2 minutes we have. Nick Chubb has ran for a TD in 5 straight games. He's added 2 receiving scores as well. But Broncos haven't given up a rushing TD to a running back in their last 7. But I've got a prop for you. And I'll read it to you. If we can get to it, great. If not, we'll answer it on the other side. And the question is, will Nick Chubb score a touchdown in Week 15? The odds are yes, minus 155. No, plus 115.
Ooh, so they're liking the no. Like you said, they've only given up 7 in 13 games this year. Very hard to do, especially in Denver. So I'm not really looking. I'd have to bet the no. I like the way Chubb is playing. Don't get me wrong, but Denver is tough, especially at home. I think, you know, in a game where if they win, they still have an outside shot at doing something. If they lose, they're done.
It's a big game.
So it means something to them. So I think Chubb has a good game. There's no way you sit Chubb. Hopefully he makes it up in catching some passes. But I don't know if he scores, at least not a rushing touchdown.
What about Jarvis Landry? Are we thinking he could have a decent day for...
I like Landry, absolutely. Denver's defense is, secondary, 24th against opposing wide receivers the last 5 weeks. I definitely think Landry's in for a decent game here.
All right. We'll continue breaking this game down, and then we're going to get to the Falcons, Cardinals, Bills, Lions. We got them all. We're going to try to cover as much as we can for you. If you have any questions, reach out to us on Twitter. We're going to open up the lines later on. You'll listen to Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back. The Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your daily fantasy skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Or get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are just so many ways that you can make money. And you can use the promo code FNTSY100 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. Once you've opened up your account, go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your BetDSI username and get 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to all sports, tools, and optimizers. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY100 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free membership at DailyRoto.com.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a heck of a promotion. BetDSI matching 100%, I always love to see that. But the fact that you also get a month of using DailyRoto.com for free is pretty great. Those tools over there are amazing. I love playing with them.
There you go. It's great stuff. Definitely great stuff. Take advantage of that promotion. All right, so we will. So he brings us back with the Macarena, and then he opens the door, and we have a live audience. It's great stuff. It's like the price is right here. Let's make a deal. We got a live studio audience.
That's pretty good considering most of the hosts are dead.
No, he's alive. The guy from Price is Right, Bob Barker.
Oh, there you go.
I just saw he turned 95. You know, what kept him alive is those beautiful women that were displaying the showcases.
Yeah, they were displaying something.
Yeah, Well, let's change the subject before we get in trouble. All right. So you're confident in Jarvis Landry. David Njoku actually has a decent matchup. Denver defense allowing league high 75.2 yards per game to tight ends. You trust in David Njoku?
Trust is such a big word. I don't know if I have trust in Njoku. I really don't. Great matchup, like you said, but you know, you're talking about a guy in the last 2 weeks who's what, 3 fantasy points 2 weeks ago, a little over. No, wait, not last week. I think he had 9 fantasy points. I don't know if I could really touch that at all. And I mean, part of that 9 points last week was a 2-pointer. So you don't really get those options too often. Look, great matchup. I agree. I just don't know if I could buy into it.
And I say this every week, just with the thinness surrounding that tight end position, you're going to have plenty of teams that are, you know, needing to use them. But
okay, well, let me give you a point. This is one that I'm struggling with. I'd like to get your feedback. Because I have Ian Thomas and Njoku in one league. Now, Njoku obviously has the better matchup, but Ian Thomas was highly used last week. With, you know, one of the things we did see with Cam Newton with the shoulder injury is that, you know, he's definitely throwing the ball shorter. He's using a lot of those short passes now with McCaffrey and not really trying to force it down the field. So, you know, for me, I know it's not a great matchup. Denver's pretty good. I want to say Denver. I'm sorry.
Saints.
New Orleans. Really good against the tight ends. Mm-hmm. But I keep coming back to, I just like Ian Thomas getting more opportunity here. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I like what Thomas is. I like what Thomas has done as well. Yeah, like we talked about, 11 targets, 9 catches last week, and even caught all 5 of his targets in the previous week against Tampa Bay. So, I'll be honest with you, I think that just volume-wise and opportunity-wise, I think I'd go Thomas as well.
Cool. And I don't feel like a complete idiot. Yeah.
No, you're not a complete
idiot. Only half an idiot.
But who isn't an idiot? I think I'm a little bit more of an idiot than you. But anyway, we talked
about
Philip Lindsay.
we don't even have to mention Philip Lindsay. Lindsay is you start him every week. You don't even think about it.
All right, so let's talk about these two guys that have garnered some attention for the Broncos. You're right. We don't have to talk about Lindsay. How about Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton? Last week, Patrick, 10 targets, 7 catches, 84 receiving yards. Remember, the Broncos traded away Demaryius Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders is on the IR. So Cortland Sutton has been dealing with a quad injury. And, you know, even if he didn't have this injury, he really hasn't performed up to the expectations that we thought after Thomas was traded. Who knows how long he's had this quad injury, but, you know, it could be bothering him. But I talked about Patrick. He plays on the outside. Deshaun Hamilton plays out of the slot, led the Broncos receivers in routes run last week, had a touchdown pass, 7 catches, 47 yards. Do you like one over the other here? Or
look, I like Hamilton a little more working out of this slot. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patrick had a good game. Nobody was even talking about Patrick last week and came out and had a good game. You know, right. I think it works out better for him, Patrick, if Sutton does play, because then at least, you know, the number one corners are still going to be gravitating towards him. If he doesn't play, I think that hurts Patrick a lot more than it does Hamilton. So right now I'm leaning towards Hamilton over Patrick just because I think he gets more work in the slot over the middle, short passes, things like that.
Right. It's a very good analysis. And, we were looking at Hamilton. We were wondering what kind of usage he was going to get last week. And he did hit the fantasy radar. So what are we thinking in terms of this game, in terms of the spread and whatnot? Think
Now 2.5 points. I mean, they're giving the Broncos almost the full at home, you know, points. You know, usually if you're at home, you usually get the 3-point spread just for being home, and then it goes from there. So they're saying basically they've given Cleveland a shot to win this game by going under that 3 points. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. I like Cleveland this week. I think they're going to put up points. Mm-hmm. I would definitely take the points with Cleveland, but I think they have an outside shot of winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cleveland 5-7-1, right? Who would have thought? 5-7. And I agree with you. I think they have a shot to win the game. But, you know, you got to just wonder if the fact that the Broncos need this game to avoid from being eliminated. I don't know. But last week they needed that game, too. So it's really hard to say. But,
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, and Cleveland is a better team right now than San Francisco is.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yeah. All right. So let's try to get to as many games as we can. We'll take a look at the Falcons at home against the Cardinals. Falcons 4-9, losers of a 5 straight. And they are a 10-point favorite, go figure, to the Cardinals. This just shows you how bad the Cardinals are, right?
Real quick, though. Real quick. I want to get into a prop bet for the Cleveland game.
Why not? Sure.
They have Baker Mayfield at over under 265.5 yards passing. What do you think about that?
Past couple of weeks, like I said, the Broncos pass offense has given up a lot of yards to quarterbacks. I'll go take the over. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I think they have a good shot. Denver defense over the last 5 weeks, number 25 against opposing quarterbacks, and definitely giving it up. 22 touchdowns already on the year. I just think Baker Mayfield has a chance to put up some points in this one. I like him to go over in that as well.
Yeah. All right, then we agree. Two great minds thinking alike.
When do they show up?
So the Falcons, 10-point favorite over the Cardinals, 44 over under. Can you believe the Falcons, how bad they are? 5 straight, right?
Can you believe that the Falcons are laying 10?
Yeah.
To me, that's the bigger question. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, during that 5-game losing streak, they haven't scored more than 19 points. During that streak. So, yeah, I got a prop bet for you here. Steve Sarkisian, is he going to be the offensive coordinator of the Falcons come the start of next season? Yes, plus 130. No, minus 170.
I don't think so. I think they need to make a change.
Is it fair to say he's been under fire?
Yeah, he's definitely been under fire. it's amazing to me. It's just this offense, I know they lost Freeman early on, and that was a big blow. But, people expected them to rebound from that, especially with the wide receivers they had. Ridley was playing so well early in the season. They were getting him open, getting him, good shots at touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden that's kind of dried up, and we've seen him go to the wayside. And Julio Jones is playing outstanding, but he's pretty much the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Cardinals 3-10. They've scored the fewest points in football. Cardinals still have a sneaky good pass defense, and they are able to get to the quarterback. But they've given up the third fewest fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. They held Aaron Rodgers to one touchdown. That was in Green Bay, and they kept Matthew Stafford in check like everybody else does. But any faith in this? In this defense holding down the Falcons at home?
It's hard to have any kind of faith in the Cardinals at all at this point. Although they did beat Green Bay 2 weeks ago and surprised the heck out of everybody. Look, they're playing really good against the pass, so Matt Ryan is kind of iffy. They're playing really good against wide receivers of late. 22nd on the year over the last 5 weeks, they're actually number 4, Atlanta is. And that's, Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans, Dallas, and Cleveland. So you got a couple of really good teams in there that they've been shutting down. I don't expect Arizona to be able to shut down Atlanta's passing offense. Mm-hmm. But, Atlanta should be all over Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. And Julio Jones, you're going to start him no matter what. But he's probably going to be getting a little Patrick Peterson, right?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who goes against Julio. It really doesn't matter to me. They'll and this is one of the reasons why Sarkisian's under pressure is they're not finding enough ways to get them away from key guys like that. Find ways to get him open, scheme him open, and that's not really what they're doing. It's right. Because of his playmaking ability that he is still having the outstanding year he is.
Right. So any other, you know, fantasy viable? What about David Johnson? Falcons have given up the most receptions to running backs. You're comfortable riding him this week, no?
I do. I do like David Johnson this week. I you know, you got to play any running back you can against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. They're not stopping anybody. You know, 29th on the season, 29th the last 5 weeks. No change there whatsoever. And like you said, 97 receptions they've given up. Over 770 passing yards to running backs. Four touchdowns. I definitely like David Johnson in this one. Even in this horrible Arizona offense right now, David Johnson is a guy I like. And, you know, I'd still probably take a shot on Larry Fitzgerald just because you know, the options outside of him are pretty dismal.
Christian Kirk on IR, really nothing much out there. Ricky Seals,
Chad Williams still banged up.
Right. I mean, would you start either? I know that sometimes we almost have to start our running backs, but Tevin Coleman and this Ito Smith thing.
I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't. I think, you know, like we said about earlier, Ito's been digging into Coleman's chances. Look, great matchup. I'm just worried about who gets what.
Right.
We just don't know which is going to get which. And, you know, I just don't think I trust either of them in this great matchup. If I had to take one gun to my head, I'd take Coleman, but wouldn't be a great feeling.
Right. Do you think the Cardinals could cover the 10?
I can't, man. They are terrible on offense, but 10 points from the Falcons, like you said, just scoring 19 points a game. How do you give 10 points to anybody? I think the safer bet for me here would be the under. The 44, I think, is
total,
a pretty safe.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly in that. Yeah.
As far as the 10, if I was going to bet either way on that 10, I'd have to take the points with Arizona. I just don't think Atlanta's good enough to cover 10 points at this point.
Yeah,
I don't think they even have the desire to anymore.
Yeah. They are a broken team, even though they're playing at home. Hey, we have a couple minutes before we go to commercial. At Lion Lenny came out to us with a question, and he says, and all of you can as well, you could hit us up at FNTSY Radio, at FNTSY Sports Net. You could reach out to me at Joe Galina and at Fantasy Taz. So in the 2 minutes left, he says, I have to use one of these wide receivers. We talked about Cortland Sutton versus the Browns, Robert Foster, wide receiver for the Bills versus the Lions, or John Ross versus the Raiders. And it's a half-point PPR.
I mean, common sense says Sutton, but I don't – he's banged up, you know – I don't know if I could go Sutton. So if it's not Sutton, I have to go with Foster. Can't trust John Ross.
Good.
Foster's been playing a lot better the last few weeks. I think I'd have to go with Foster there.
John Ross has caught an amazing percentage of his total receptions have been touchdowns. So yeah, in a half point PPR, I agree with you. I'm glad you.
Well, when you only catch one or two passes a game and one goes for a touchdown, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you can't count
but he's
on
fast.
It. And,
but he's fast.
Oh, he's definitely fast. And he's also injury, you know, he has an injury history. It's just hard to count on him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to head up to Buffalo. And the Bills take on the Lions. And shockingly, man, the Bills have gotten themselves to the point where they're a favorite. In a game.
Although after last week they shouldn't be the favorite anywhere. That was just how do you let the Jets come back and beat you? Just amazing.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that game. And I've got Bears Packers. That's going to be a real interesting one as well. We'll be back. We'll listen to great music. We're banging our heads here. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update.